Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wildflower by Willow Hadley, narrated by Monica King and Chris Chambers. 1. Cricket.
Okay, fine. I groan when Stella bats at my phone for the third time. I've been awake for a while, scrolling mindlessly through Instagram, but I didn't want to actually get up yet. Stella gives me one of her looks, swishing her tail back and forth in irritation. She's being a brat for no reason, as usual. But because I love her, I get up and walk across my room to open the window for her. She could walk downstairs and use the cat door Aurora put in for her like a normal animal, but no. Pretending to be more pissed than I am, I watch Stella slink through my open window and use my magic to happily prance through the air as if she's going down invisible steps until she reaches the ground. She doesn't even glance up at me before running into the garden and pouncing straight into one of the flower beds Aurora deemed off-limits. Little brat, I chuckle. Aurora will probably be mad that my devious familiar keeps ruining her plants, but I'll make it up to her somehow. Since my magic's been growing stronger the past few weeks after moving to Emery Ridge and spending so much time with three certain werewolves, Stella's been growing stronger too. It wasn't super noticeable at first. We've always been able to communicate really clearly, and she can usually absorb my emotions without much effort on my part. But for the first time, she's able to legitimately use my magic the same way I can. Just little things like floating and creating breezes. It's still amazing, and it makes me happy to see Stella so happy. I'm not really sure it's normal for a witch's familiar to be able to do that. I still haven't figured out how to bring the subject up with Aurora. My phone pings, snagging my attention. A goofy smile spreads across my face when I see the text from Hollis. Good morning, Cricket. It's not anything big, I know, but every morning since I officially met him, Hollis texts me as soon as he wakes up. It's so cute and heartwarming to know I'm the first thing he thinks about when he gets up in the morning. I text him back before hopping in the shower. When I'm finished, I spend way longer than usual deciding on an outfit. Cass is picking me up, and we're hanging out after school, too. I keep telling myself I'm not nervous about it, but I totally am. Everything with the guys the past few days has been perfect. Too perfect. It also doesn't help that the last time I was alone with Cass outside of school, I embarrassed myself by crying and trying to kiss him. And I've kissed Theo and Hollis since then. They haven't made a big deal about it or brought it up, but ugh. Clearly, I can't be trusted to control myself. No matter how many times I remind myself, they have stupid mates somewhere. I send Hollis a snap once I'm dressed and happy enough with my outfit. I'm not really sure it goes together, but the brown skirt is so cute and the black shirt is really soft. Plus, Cass pretty much only wears black t-shirts, and I think maybe it will be cute to match with him, which isn't weird or desperate or anything.
Very sexy, Hollis responds on Snapchat. I bite my lip to hold in my giggles, and I wait patiently for a selfie from him. A few seconds later, I'm not disappointed. We've been doing this for a few days now, sending selfies to each other while we get ready for the day. He always looks so shy in his selfies, and also crazy fucking hot. While trying to decide how flirty I should be in my response, my eyes catch on the note Theo wrote me that's taped to the back of my closet door. My stomach flutters with guilt. I'm sitting here fawning over Hollis while getting ready to hang out with Cass, and I'm still thinking about Theo in the back of my mind. This is why I need a friend. Like, a legit friend I can whine to about my complicated relationship problems. My first thought is to reach out to Aaron and maybe Brennan, but I don't know them that well. And even if I already admitted to Aaron, I'm crushing on my three guy friends all at the same time. It's not like I can call her up and explain the complicated mess of their being werewolves with future mates. After hesitating and checking I still have plenty of time to waste before Cass picks me up, I sigh and dial Emerson's number. Killian would probably be nicer, but there's no way he's awake yet.
What's wrong?
Em asks when he answers.
Why do you assume something's wrong? I scoff.
Why else would you call me this early?
I don't bother trying to argue or deny it. It was really nice seeing my brothers this weekend. But things were kind of weird between us when they left to go back to Denver on Saturday. I don't think they're mad, exactly, but they're definitely not thrilled I haven't been 100% honest with them. Well, I figured you'd be up for practice or the gym, I say.
I'm heading to the gym now.
M pauses, and then his voice softens.
It's not that important if you need to talk, though. Seriously, is everything okay?
Stalling to avoid blurting out everything at once, I ask him a question instead. Why did you ask Luca out? Like, what made you want an actual relationship with him? He chuckles.
It didn't start out like that. At first, I just thought he was hot. But after a while, I realized I looked forward to seeing him and actually talking to him instead of just fucking him like he was any other random hookup.
How romantic, I snort sarcastically.
Shut up, he laughs. Luca's great. It's not easy doing the long distance thing, but I think it's worth it. Plus, he knows about Aurora and our family, and it's nice not having to hide that part of my life from someone.
My lips curve into a smile as I think about the guys again. Yeah, I totally get that.
Uh-huh, he says in his grumpy voice. Speaking of, are you finally going to tell me why you called, or are we still pretending you don't have three supernatural boyfriends?
They're not...
Not what? Not your boyfriends, or not supernatural?
I make a face at my phone, even though M can't see me. Still, I guess there's no point denying it any longer. I should have told my brothers everything in person while they were here. My boyfriends, I sigh. I like them, and I know they like me, and usually they seem okay with that, but...
Emerson grunts when I trail off. They're a bunch of simps, but I guess they're pretty decent.
Thanks, I roll my eyes.
Sorry,
he laughs.
I mean it, though. They're good guys. If they don't have a problem sharing you or whatever you've all been pretending you're not doing, I don't get why you don't give it a chance. Despite what you and Keely seem to believe, a relationship is not a death sentence.
It's just because of what they are. I trail off, wondering how vague I should be. I trust my brothers, but part of me is still worried they'll freak out if they know the whole truth. I can't be with them, no matter how much I want to be. Instead of getting pissed at me, Emerson laughs quietly.
We're going to figure it out eventually. Keely spent all day in the library yesterday searching for obscure bookshops in England. He might be able to find books that might be helpful. He said he already has a few theories of what your boyfriends might be.
That sounds like something Killian would do. God, I just hope when they figure out the guys are werewolves, they don't tell my mom and dad. My parents are really laid back, but they don't really get the magic thing since neither of them are witches. I don't want them to freak out and drag me back to Florida before my birthday. My phone pings with a new text and I sigh in frustration. M wasn't much help after all. Thanks for talking to me. Cass is picking me up soon, so I have to go.
Tell Moody I said hi.
I giggle and hang up. When I check my texts, I'm excited to see a new message from Cass.
Hey, babe, is it okay if I pick you up a little early?
Of course, I write back immediately. Butterflies erupt in my stomach all over again at the thought of spending the day alone with Cass. Maybe I can't be in a relationship with the guys, and maybe things will be really terrible once they meet their real mates. But for now, I can keep hanging out with them like I have been. I can pretend like I'm not totally and completely freaked out by what the future holds. I check my reflection one last time and head downstairs to find something to eat before Cass gets here.
2. Cass. I end up spending way more time fucking with my hair and standing in front of my mirror than I care to admit. I look down at my Rolex for the millionth time. It should be okay if I leave now. I'll just text Cricket and let her know I'll be a little early. I grab my backpack and keys and look myself over in the mirror one last time. I'm wearing dark jeans, Vans, and a black t-shirt that shows off my muscles. Cricket can tease me all she wants, but I know she's always trying to find an excuse to touch my biceps, which I'm definitely cool with. As I'm heading down the stairs, I run into my mom. My dad's been out of town all weekend for work, but he'll be back tonight in time for dinner. I know my mom's been going crazy with him gone, especially with everything going on with Ellie. I haven't really talked to her since the barbecue at Hawthorne's yesterday. I got back from Cricket's place pretty late, and she was already in bed.
Are you still planning on bringing Cricket over after school?
My mom likes to speak French when she's at home. Even though she hated the pack she was born into, I know she misses her home country. I give her an annoyed shrug. Yes, why? She gives me a long look. I have the strongest urge to run my fingers through my hair, but she'll know she's making me nervous if I do. She raises her eyebrows.
I know she's a very beautiful girl, but just promise me you're using protection.
Have I not had enough of these lectures over the past few years?
I'm not stupid. It doesn't matter anyway. Seal gave me an Orlus and Alpha order, so we're not allowed to touch her or be more than friends with her.
She seems surprised, and then her mouth curls into a smirk.
Are you upset about that?
I shrug and move past her. I am not having this fucking conversation with her right now. No way. I can hear her heels clicking behind me on the hardwood, and she laughs.
Oh, Cassian, don't be like that.
When I turn around to glare at her, she smiles softly.
So, do you like her, Sam?
Yes, okay. Yes, I fucking like her. Happy? I snarl. She meets me at the bottom of the staircase and gives me an annoying smile. In her heels, my mom is nearly as tall as I am. She smooths my hair on my forehead.
You don't think Theo would let you date her if you told him that?
I shake my head. Unfortunately, I can't disguise the bitterness in my voice.
He thinks she might be his mate.
She puckers her lips sympathetically and nods.
Yes, I heard that. But I want to know what you think.
I shrug helplessly and bite the inside of my cheek. I can't talk to Theo or Hollis about this, and I certainly can't talk to Cricket. I swallow the lump in my throat and finally admit out loud,
I want him to be wrong. I want her to be mine.
My mom pulls me into an embrace, and I wrap my arms around her tiny stature. She knows how I've always felt about finding a mate. But the truth is, I would be immeasurably happy if I found out Cricket was my mate. I daydream about seeing my mate mark on her wrist, about seeing the look on her face when she realizes she was meant to be with me. I look down at my watch again and pull away from my mom. I give her an embarrassed scowl.
Don't say anything at dinner, please.
She smiles and pats my cheek affectionately.
Have a good day, sweetheart. I love you.
Rolling my eyes, I mumble that I love her too. I make my way into the garage and slide into the driver's seat of my Challenger. It's already been too long since I've driven her, and I'm really fucking excited to see Cricket sitting in the passenger seat next to me. I send her a text, letting her know I'm on my way, and speed out of the driveway. When I pull up outside of Flora and Feathers, I feel nervous. I don't understand why. I've been spending every day with Cricket. There's no reason for me to be nervous. I get out of my car and pace back and forth along the sidewalk. Should I text her again or ring the bell for Aurora's apartment? Before I can make a decision about what to do, I hear the click of a door lock. I spin around to see Cricket walking outside with a radiant smile on her face. I automatically smile back and slowly walk up behind her as she locks the door. While she's facing away from me, I let my eyes wander over her. Her messy hair looks even more golden in the morning sunlight, falling just past her shoulder blades. She's wearing a black t-shirt, and it's hugging her curve so that I can see the clearly defined dip in her waist before her hips jut out. I force my eyes to continue moving down before I get too caught up in thinking about what I'd like to do while grabbing on to those fantastic fucking hips. She's also wearing a short, brown suede skirt that flares out, and a pair of Vans. I've given up trying to define her style. Nothing she wears ever makes sense to me, and I still can't figure out how she makes something that should be so basic look fucking phenomenal. Every girl I've ever been interested in or have been attracted to before has been extremely girly and feminine. But Cricket is so... I don't even fucking know. She finally turns around and smiles up at me. Good morning, Cassian. I brush my fingers over her cheek, wishing I could kiss her. I'm considering trying anyway, even though I know it will hurt. Good morning, Cricket. I check my watch, relieved to see we still have plenty of time before school. Are you hungry? Or do you want to grab a coffee? Her eyes light up. I almost wish she wouldn't look at me like that, even though it seriously gives me the greatest fucking feeling in the world. But when she looks at me like that, I start resenting Theo for wanting to steal her from me. Cricket grabs my hand and laces our fingers together, pushing away all of my negative thoughts. Sure, I'd love a coffee. I grab her backpack and throw it over my shoulder, and we walk next door to the Little Owl Cafe where I saw her for the first time. I'm hoping the same barista isn't working again, especially after seeing her at the bookshop yesterday. But, of fucking course, I spot her as soon as we walk in. She frowns at me before smiling softly at Cricket. Morning, beautiful. You want your regular? Cricket nods and thanks her, and I order a cappuccino. For a few seconds, the barista glares at me before sighing deeply and ringing up my drink with Cricket's. The worst part is, I can't even blame her. I run my hand through my hair nervously and smile tightly at Cricket. You want anything else, babe? She looks over the baked goods in the display case, biting her lip in the most adorable way. I'm tempted to just buy one of everything again, like I did at the sweet spot. When I glance up, the barista gives me a nasty sneer. It makes me feel prickly and defensive. I can't stop myself from growling. What the fuck is your problem? The girl crosses her arms and rolls her eyes at me. I just can't understand how assholes like you can manage to convince girls like her you're not completely full of shit. Cricket narrows her eyes and sighs. Katie... The barista faces Cricket and shrugs. I know I don't know you that well, but come on. You can do so much better. He was such an asshole to you the first time you came in here. That day, after you walked out of here, he got into another fight with the girl he came in with. And then the douchebag had the audacity to come back here the next day and demand I tell him your name and how to find you. Cricket gives me an amused smile and laughs. I know he can come across as harsh, but Cass is one of the sweetest people I've ever met. He's one of my best friends. I'm probably smiling like an idiot now. Katie huffs and mumbles, whatever. Keeping a sweet smile on her face, Cricket asks for a chocolate muffin. I hand over my credit card, and Katie rings us up. While she's making our drinks, Cricket pulls me over to the other end of the counter and slides an arm around my waist. We talk quietly, just about school and nothing very important. While we're waiting, a couple of other people walk in. After we get our coffees, we walk outside and back to the bookshop where I parked. When she sees my car, she gives me a crazy smile.
Wow, it really is awesome.
I can't help smiling smugly when I open the passenger door for her. After she slides in, I race around to the other side and toss her backpack in the back seat before getting in. I turn the ignition and rev the engine, grinning over at Cricket. She has the sexiest fucking smile on her face, and I can't wait to see the looks on people's faces when I pull up at school with her. I let my eyes wander over her again quickly before taking off. Now that she's sitting down, her skirt has ridden up higher on her thighs. After touching her as much as possible in Hawthorne's pool yesterday, I know for a fact that her skin is just as soft and smooth as it looks. But I still have the strongest urge to put my hand on her thigh right now. Maybe pull that skirt just a little bit higher up. Cricket snorts and smacks my arm lightly. Ha! There she goes, finding a reason to touch my muscles.
Are you gonna drive? Or are you gonna sit here staring at me all day?
I smirk and raise my eyebrows at her. Is that an option? She shakes her head and laughs. The drive to school is over too quickly, and we're there way earlier than usual. There are still plenty of people in the parking lot, though, and we get some shocked looks when we pull up and I open her door for her. Cricket holds our coffees and her muffin while I grab our backpacks. I kind of wish the guys were here. I'm not sure how I can carry her bag, my stupid coffee, and hold her hand at the same time. It's fucking weird to catch myself thinking things like that. Since I can't hold her hand as we walk up to the school, I compensate by pulling her onto my lap when we reach the ledge that runs in front of the main building while we wait for the guys. She doesn't seem to mind, and I watch her drink her coffee and eat her muffin while she chatters away about some nerdy book series she likes. I'm listening to her, of course, and I could listen to her talk about literally fucking anything for hours on end. But I can also feel my thoughts wandering. Her brother Killian suggested Theo and I should both date Cricket. I was shocked at the time, but I automatically included Hollis when I let myself really think about it. When Cricket is with all three of us, it can be really fucking fun to flirt with her in front of each other, and to have her flirt back with us. And there somehow not be any real jealousy or pressure. Even when Hollis and Theo irritate me and push my buttons about Cricket, I can't deny even then I feel a sick sense of pleasure. Theo pulls into the parking lot, and Cricket turns to give me an excited smile. You want to walk over and meet them? She nods, and I throw our trash away before wrapping my arm around her shoulders and walking over to meet the guys by the Jeep. Hollis hops out before Theo's fully parked. He rushes over to Cricket and picks her up, spinning her around in a hug. She looks so happy to see him. It makes me think, in an alternate universe, if we didn't have to worry about stupid fucking mates, and where nobody would talk shit about Cricket, dating the same amazing girl as Hollis and Theo could be so much fun. I don't think it would be that different than how we've been acting with her so far, except we'd have the added benefit of being able to sleep with her. Hollis sets Cricket down, and Theo strides over to her with an idiotic smile on his face. He tugs on her hair so she looks up at him.
Good morning, little witch,
Theo growls, looking her up and down with a smirk.
You look hot today.
And then he glances up at me over her head and winks. Just like that. I'm pissed off. I have no idea if he's doing it because he knows I agree, and he's genuinely happy that we're both into the same girl, or if he's fucking with me and rubbing it in my face that he thinks she's his mate. 2 more weeks until her birthday. All I can do is pray she won't have any mate mark at all, or that she'll have mine instead. Hollis claps me on the shoulder, bringing me back to reality. He gives me a smile. You okay? I force a smile. Yeah, of course. Theo throws his arm around Cricket. Did Cass get you something to eat this morning? I feel myself scowling, but Hollis nudges me before I can snap at Theo. Cricket rolls her eyes at him and sighs.
You know, Aurora has food at her house. I ate breakfast with her this morning.
She turns her head to give me a flirty smile.
But Cass bought me a coffee and a muffin, too.
Theo scrunches his nose up at her and gives me a smirk.
Aw, how sweet.
I make sure Cricket's not looking, and then I bare my teeth at him. He gives me a huge fucking grin, and his eyes get a stupid, mischievous gleam in them. Hollis gives us an exasperated look. After Hollis splits off to go to his Latin class, Theo, Cricket, and I head for our government class. When we reach the stairs, Cricket turns around and raises an eyebrow at us.
Don't even think about carrying me into our class today.
We laugh, and she heads up the stairs. I shove my way in front of Theo so I can walk behind her first. He doesn't put up much of a fight. He just snickers under his breath. I don't really give a fuck, though, because now I get to watch Cricket's skirt swish back and forth while giving me a peek at the backs of her thighs. I flare my nostrils, trying to catch her scent a little better. I know this is obviously not the time or place, but fucking hell. Every day I just want to have sex with her more. I've never wanted somebody as much as I want her, and it's driving me insane. I tilt my head down to try and get a better look under her skirt.
What you looking at, Cass?
Theo asks in a sing-song voice. Cricket laughs. I'm annoyed and embarrassed at being caught. When we get to the top of the stairs, Cricket crinkles her nose and squeezes my arm. That makes 2 times so far that she's tried to feel my muscles.
Is this going to become a habit of yours?
She asks. I put my hand over hers, which is still resting on my bicep. I press down lightly while flexing and giving her a smirk. Maybe. Is this going to become a habit of yours? She grins, and she doesn't pull her hand away. I get lost in her gorgeous eyes. They're this stunning combination of blue and brown. Letting out a choked laugh, Theo pushes us down the hallway.
Quit flirting, you two.
I turn my head to smirk at him, glad that I'm finally ruffling his fur when it comes to Cricket. But Theo doesn't smirk or even smile back, and he looks really nervous. He's tapping his fingers on the strap of his backpack, and I feel guilty. I let Cricket take a couple of steps ahead of us and lean into him so that she won't be able to hear me. I'm sorry. Theo looks surprised. He mumbles,
Don't be sorry, Cass. You're not doing anything wrong.
I don't understand him. He says he thinks Cricket is his mate. But then he says he's fine with me and Hollis touching her. And then he fucking turns around and orders that we can't be more than friends with her, but still lets us flirt with her. It doesn't make any sense. I'm starting to think he's not as confident as he tries to appear. And that scares the fuck out of him. When we walk into the classroom, our usual seats are waiting for us,
I don't ask Theo this time where he wants to sit. I know he has a thing about playing with...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?